Hello there, everyone, and welcome to episode 46 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm Josh. I'm back.
Josh is back.
Boo.
Boo.
Did you piss out all your pissies?
I pissed out all my pissies.
Gross.
It was bad.
You were laid up, huh?
Yeah, it was a couple days of horrible.
It was like the bubonic thing.
I was like, I would imagine it was like being in a prison camp, like
North Korea,
like a North Korean concentration.
Probably
camp.
Exactly the same. Yeah,
or like a Vietnamese, like you know, Vietnam War camp.
Did you read anything?
It's
while
got
you
dark
were...
early.
Did I read anything?
Yeah.
I keep trying to get into the book.
Abomination.
I read.
Just
like,
give up, dude.
No, because I feel like I should like it. I feel like I should. You know, but I'm just so. Like,
I know.
I'm just like
I know
come
all
on.
About it.
You don't have to. You don't have to like it.
No, I know, but. There's no, I can't define why I don't. Like, there's no reason why I just shouldn't.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, I don't make royalties on books that I recommend. I thought maybe you guys would like it.
I thought you did.
I'm not upset that you don't.
How are we paying for all this?
Well, Josh, interesting you should ask. We're not.
What?
But so, like, you're just cracking your head against it?
Yeah, I'm just sort of, like, reading a few pages, and I'm like, King guy doing his thing. Like, whatever.
All right.
I'm going to finish it. I'm going to just sit down. I'm just going to hammer
it out. The next year, he's definitely going to finish it. By the end of 2016,
By the time
we'll
get to
there.
Episode 92, which will be twice as many episodes we've done right now.
That's some good math. No, it's not. Yes, it is.
Wait, it's not good math, or it is good math, or it's
it
not?
It is good math.
Okay.
It is correct.
Yeah.
I did that in my head then.
So did I.
Yep.
Are you jazzing it up?
I'm jazzing.
Because of the new theme music.
Because we got new theme music.
Yeah.
Is that the only thing that you're trying to read right now?
Yeah. I'm excited. I want you to recommend me something else.
All right. That's fine.
Because I like when you do that. It makes... It's an interesting insight into...
He loves to start books that you recommend.
Yeah. I love looking at them.
I like Josh. He's like that... That person you can't buy the perfect gift for, but that doesn't mean you can't stop buying try to buy the gift, although I don't pay for these gifts.
That's
so.
Why I never tell anyone about what I want for Christmas, because it's your job to you figure me out.
I'll just give you another naked lady book to put on your coffee table that no
you
one ever
figured
sees.
Figured them out.
Right?
I read that book already.
Sean, what are you reading?
I finished... no, I didn't. I didn't finish anything. I'm still reading the... I'm just still
Did
reading...
Did you finish lying on the podcast?
Never.
Are you done?
Never. I'm still working my way through Stephen King's The Bazaar of Bad Dreams.
Okay.
Which is the short story collection.
Yeah.
It's good. It's interesting. It was described to me by one of the people that works at the shop as... like, the horror in the book, in the stories, isn't like... For the most part, supernatural and ghosts and monsters and stuff. It's a lot more like real world scenario, like what would happen if you were put in this situation kind of horror.
Kind of like Cujo, right? Cujo's sort of like
it is a little bit like that, yeah.
What would happen if a dog was?
But I feel like Cujo was like terrible, like not bad, like terrifying,
yeah,
like really legitimately scary. And these stories are more like they kind of stay under your skin, and that's not really what I. Read Stephen King for like I want like the look through to the other worlds and like the cross-dimensional monsters and like shades of Lovecraft
I don't
really want like
he's good at that stuff too without being too like overtly like this is fantastical it's
well,
like,
he always
it's
builds
just like
it
it's
slow.
Like on the edges of the story
it sneaks in but this is there, I mean there's some fantastic elements to some of the stories but for the most part the stories are like I don't want to say ripped from the headlines, but it feels like it could be someone else writing it.
Okay.
It's good. It's just not what I get into.
All right.
But in answer to I got sort of called out on Twitter because we talk about too many books that aren't released yet.
Oh.
On the show,
we're
someone
just
was like,
way ahead of
Klaxon
the book.
Noise.
Yeah.
Someone was like, you need to be doing more books that are out. So I'm reading a book that's out. So Bazaar Bad Dreams by Stephen King.
It's out.
Suck it.
So you can read it.
Can you pay him a dollar to make them into a movie? That's the thing, right? You can pay him a dollar to any of his short stories. You give him a dollar, you can make it into a movie.
I'm not sure that's the case anymore.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
What, did he renege on that? What, is he not going to do that anymore?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
Get on it.
All right. All right. For next week,
tweet my at homework. Him.
Mr. Connected.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm
a Mr. I have friends in the industry.
Just his son. Just Joe Hill. I haven't gotten through to King yet. He's with a different publishing house.
This dude.
That sounds knew. Like a lot of excuses.
All right.
Can you get in contact with Gutenberg? He, like, invented books.
From Police Academy?
Steve Gutenberg.
Steve Gutenberg.
Mahoney?
The Steve Gutenberg Bible.
Like that other guy from Police Academy that invented jazz. He was like, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop, boop.
It's good. Right? It's really good.
Michael it's Showalter was his name, I believe.
Woo! Hey, is there a
all
police
the
officer?
All the facts here at Cracking the Spine.
There's a lot of references going on.
Zane, what are you reading?
I am still reading The Fireman by Joe Hill.
Okay. I'm excited for you. Hopefully.
No, it's really good.
Okay.
It's long, mm-hmm. So I'm about halfway through. But it's really good, and I keep like, I read it in bed, and like right before I go to sleep, and I'm always like, oh, I really want to stay up and read this, and then I just kind of fall asleep. Like I don't give myself enough time to sit down and
find,
just, like, read huge chunks of it, which is my fault.
Sometimes when I do that, like, when I wake up, I have to go back and reread, like, the last, like, 5 or 6 pages because I have no idea what happened.
I was reading it last night, and then I had, like, it wasn't, like, a full-on dream about the book, but it was, like, in the dream, I was, like, continuing to read.
Like a nap dream?
And stuff was happening mm-hmm. in the book. And when I woke up and I started reading again, I was like, wait, what happened to that part where... And I, like, really confused myself. So maybe I shouldn't be reading it, like, on the cusp of sleep. But it's really, really good.
All right. And Josh,
I wish I could say more about it.
Yeah, I know, right? I want to ask you more about
it's
it.
It's not out yet.
It won't be out until May.
We're not allowed to talk about it.
Sorry.
We'll get yelled at on Twitter.
All right. Josh, because you weren't here last week, we had talked about we mentioned you in passing last week because uh-huh. we had talked about the Golden Age and when the text thread was going around between the three of us about doing that as a topic.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that you had an age that you very specifically didn't like of writing.
What was
yeah.
it? And we were like,
What's the golden age of writing?
It?
And you were like, I know what age of writing I hate.
Probably like American literature in like the 30s, probably is what I was thinking of. Like,
oh, not what
like
we guessed.
Grapes of Wrath.
I guess J.J. Abrams.
Also, no, fair. I know what it was. I know what it was. It was 17th century English crap that I hate. Like Dickensian.
Oh.
I freaking hate Charles Dickens and I hate anything. Like Moby Dick? Fuck Moby Dick.
Wow.
They're making a movie out of that again. Oh, great. Another Moby Dick movie.
All right.
Awesome.
But it's
I read Moby Dick. It sucks.
I've never read it.
Have you talked about this like online at all? Because we got a comment today
on
Facebook.
Oh, that's right.
From Matt Davis, and he said that his golden age.
Davis.
He said that his golden age of writing was 17th and 18th century. Hope Josh isn't mad at me. Is this a thing that you talk about?
I might have said how I hate Moby Dick a lot. There's a whole like 5 chapters of Moby Dick where they talk about the ship. Yeah, it's really great. I don't know shit about boats, and nobody in this time period knows what a jahoozy what's it's on the rigger majigger is. Nobody knows.
I would argue that that is correct. I would guess that nobody knows.
So now I gotta go look what that is up in a boat book. I gotta read 2 books.
All right.
Josh is back.
So that answers that question.
I guess so.
I think you said, we said that there was so much
for him to be. The Twilight
stuff.
We were going to say the Twilight.
We were just confused because there was so much for Josh to hate. And
right.
My point is he delivered.
I'm really good at it. Do what you're good at. I hate doing what I'm good at.
There it is. All right. Cool. So we, once again, because we've got awesome listeners, I want to give a shout out to whoever is anonymously sending me books at my work. It's simultaneously awesome and a little weird.
It's a little weird, right?
No, it's awesome. It's full on awesome.
Okay. It was a little weird when somebody sent me The Joy of Sex. Just say.
Weird, hot.
Only because we talked about it at length on the show.
We just couldn't think of the name. They send us books that we don't remember the name
that's
of.
That's true. Actually, that's really, yeah.
So we should just forget all the names of books and we'll just get all these books.
What is that stuff they keep at Fort Knox? I said it!
Everybody knows there's no gold in Fort Knox.
But anyway, somebody anonymously and awesomely sent me the novelization of the Christian Slater Academy Award winning Pump Up the Volume.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look into the Academy Awards that it won. Mostly technical stuff.
editing.
Also, there's like stills from the movie the book.
Which is the best part.
It is, I'll read it right off the cover here. It is now a major motion picture from New Line Cinema starring Christian Slater. Pump Up the Volume, a Del Rey classic. Doesn't say classic. A novel by J.S. Feliciano, Jose Feliciano, everybody knows of Feliz Navidad fame, with 16 pages of photos.
16? It's 16 only 138 pages.
A groundbreaking motion picture for the 90s, right on the back there.
Oh, the 90s. Oh, I wish I could go back.
Anyway.
Steal the air, talk hard.
That's awesome that people listen seriously to the stuff that we, like, randomly trip up on
and it's,
on
and
the
it's,
show and follow up on it.
And it's worth mentioning that Zane and Josh are both butthurt that all the packages come addressed
they
to me.
They come to Sean.
They come addressed to me.
Well, not going to send me any books, so I won't read them.
I like getting stuff.
Go ahead, put your address out.
1, 2, 3.
Ghost Town Bookstore.
Whatever the address here is.
All right, we're going to take a little break because, once again, speaking of awesome listeners, we got a great suggestion from somebody that we're going to get into right after this.
Of Cracking the Spine. I'm still Zane.
I'm next. I'm Josh.
I'm Sean. I miss Josh Bot.
Yeah, he's better than me.
He stopped by last week.
I heard.
And people liked it.
Yeah.
People
always
like, yeah, well, he's
people
good
like Josh jokes.
That's true. That's right.
I'm real easy to make fun of.
I think you're just very popular.
Yeah.
Mm.
You make us both look better.
Oh my god.
Oh, shut up.
Okay. So, let's, we're going to edit all that out.
Keep it in.
Yeah,
leave
okay
it in.
Zane, what are we talking about this week? Huh? I believe I asked you a question.
I'm getting to it.
All right.
Read faster! Come on! We're live!
We are working off of a listener suggestion today from Bill Cernansky on Facebook, who said, I had an idea for an episode topic. When you like the works but hate the writer as a person, example, Orson Scott Card has written a lot of good stuff, but he is on a personal rampage to ruin the lives of and remove civil liberties from homosexual persons. Mm. He spends a lot of his money and time on it. I cannot bring myself to ever buy a book of his again because I know the money will be used in a way that I find despicable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big one.
That is a pretty big
one. It's a,
he did,
it sticks out there.
He did, what's it called, right?
Ender's Game. Ender's Game and Ender's Shadow and there's another one.
The ones where the kids are the
Ender's
armies.
2, Electric Boogaloo.
Ender's 2, is Electric Boogaloo is good. Ender, do a sick kickflip! All right!
Ender's 2, end again.
End again.
Ender's 3, the end around. The end?
Question mark?
All right, anyway.
It's not.
So, where do you guys, like, draw the line with writers or any artists? Where?
Oh, this is a huge
like
question.
What are artists that you can think of where you've actively thought, like, this person in their actual personal lives just are such flaming assholes that I cannot.
Ted Nugent.
James Brown.
James Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
James Brown beat his wife.
I know.
Wives. Several.
Yeah.
And was, like, unrepentant about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Well,
so,
I find
so
it's definitely one of those things, like, the further back you go, you find out all these horrible things about these people.
Humphrey
these artists.
Bogart beat his kids.
Bing Crosby beat his kids.
Bing Crosby, yep.
It's interesting because, Zane, like you just said, like,
Otis Redding.
It's, you take a lot, like, you're, I don't want to say you're more forgiving of it in the past.
Yeah.
But it's like, that was kind of the thing to do at the times.
Right.
Well, and,
but, like, Orson Scott Card is alive now,
well,
is actively involved
with, like,
doing it now.
Older writers and artists and stuff, like, so many of them, if not almost all of them, perpetrated these horrible things in their personal lives, and it's, like, so massive, like, there's just so many of them. If you said, like, you know what, I don't support that, I'm not ever gonna read his stuff, like, you'd basically be out of, like, music to listen to from the 50s.
How about Charles Dickens?
You know,
Charles Dickens dumped his wife because she got fat. and like shacked up with a 19-year-old mm-hmm. and like put his wife on, like his wife on blast, like all over the place.
Yeah.
On the internet.
Yes. Which at the times was just a post in the middle of London Square. Well, Lord Dickens, what have you to say this day? Read thee not the comments.
Read thee not the comments.
Yeah, that's Dickensian, right?
Yes.
Anyway.
Pretty good.
It's hard because, like, I find a lot of despicable authors, I don't really like their works either. Mm. Like, I didn't really get into Ender's Game.
Yeah.
And the other one that came to mind for me was Ayn Rand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the, you know, the libertarian goddess who wrote Fountainhead mm-hmm. and Atlas Shrugged, who was big on, like, you know, no one should be given anything, altruism is a joke, it doesn't exist. But then when she was in her, like, in her elderly years, like, collected Social Security.
Which is like, what? Yeah, like, what?
basically smoked herself to death and then was ill and, like, needed.
Weed?
No, she was a chain smoker, yeah.
She was so into smoking, she believed it was, like necessary for a person to smoke, that you couldn't hang out with her, like, at her house unless you smoked.
You smoked.
That's how into it she was. And then, you know.
Idiot.
Right?
Right.
Like, but I feel like stuff like that, like, she so clearly had a political agenda that she was writing about.
Right.
Like, I kind of, when I was thinking about this topic, I kind of, like, didn't include stuff like that. Because, like...
It could be a gimmick.
Well, and
No, but the Orson Scott Card thing is different.
The Orson Scott Card thing is different because he's not writing about, like, you know, LGBT rights.
Right.
Like, he's, you know.
Like, I've been skeeved out recently. Beth Stern,
yeah,
who is Howard Stern's second wife, has written a series of children's books about a cat named Yoda. And, like, the newest one just came out, and it's called Yoda Needs a Buddy, or it might be Yoda Finds a Buddy, or something like that. And, like, when I was, you know, 18 through 24, like, I listened to Howard Stern, like, it was a thing, but, like, that's going back 20 years or more.
Yeah.
And, like, he's still pumping away at that same shtick, and what used to be fun and controversial when he was young is now turned into, like, the dirty old man show.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, like, I think in order to help sell the books, on the back cover of all these, like, you know the size of a kid's, like, picture book, like, a hardcover picture book, on the back cover of all of them is a picture of Beth and Howard Stern together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm now living in a world where Howard Stern is selling kids' books?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's it's not, just, I'm not okay with
weird.
That.
It's just sort of a weird, like, unnecessary crossover. Yeah. Of, like, why, like, if Beth Stern wants to write books, she should write books, but why is Howard Stern in the picture on the back of the book?
Because otherwise, Beth Stern doesn't, I mean, I know cares. You know the answer.
No, yeah.
Otherwise, she doesn't get the deal.
Right.
Like, you got to put Howard on the cover with her, or else no one...
Like, who's, like, 8 years old and it's like, ah, Howard Stern!
Right?
My favorite movie's Private Parts!
Right, and he said it too. Like,
he's rough looking.
He's not a pretty guy.
He's like a 7-foot tall mop.
Yeah, exactly.
With a big
nose. It's like if Joey Ramone was ugly. And Joey Ramone was ugly.
He was ugly as hell.
Right.
But are there any authors that, like, you really enjoyed their work and then you found out a little bit about what they do with their money, or, like, campaigns that they're involved in or something, like, similar to the Orson Scott Card thing, where, like, the writing was so good, or it maybe, like, we have to move away from writers, any kind of artist, where, like, the art is something that you love, but you kind of can't deal with who the artist is.
I don't know. I'm pretty good at, like, divorcing, like, myself from their private self and their art. I don't know. I think that there's a... For the most part. Like, I wouldn't buy an Orson Scott Card book if I knew his money was going to, like, anti...
Well, and that's, like, so... Like, I feel like making asshole-ish remarks is one thing. Like,
right.
Just being
like
a
Alan,
dick.
The Alan Moore thing.
Yeah.
Right. Alan, like, Moore's a dick.
Right,
like,
he's a dick.
You can be a dick, but... And then there's, like, actually campaigning for horrible things in the world. Like, you know, like, I kept thinking about Morrissey. Like, I love the music of Morrissey. I love the Smiths. He's a dick. He's an asshole. And he says horrible things, but he's just Morrissey. Like, he doesn't
actively
affect political change in the world.
Right.
Like, he's just an asshole. And it's easy for me to be like, you know, I don't want to be friends with him. I just want to listen to him sing. Like, that's very easy for me because the way that he's a dick just has no effect on the world, but other than, like, he's just a dick.
Interestingly, as you talked about that, I was thinking of sort of, like, the opposite, which is U2. I actually really like old U2 music, mm-hmm. like, when they first came on, like, their first, I don't know, 5 or 6 albums are, like, I think still stand the test of time.
I have to be high. Really? Did I ever tell you that story?
I've never thought of U2 as a stoner band.
Well, I got really high one time, and they were on VH1, and
it blew your mind.
And I was like, oh, I get this. But, like,
that sucks.
Because that's how high I was. But when I'm not high, I'm just like, I don't know.
Like, I haven't listened to any, like, I haven't really gone out of my way to pick up any of their newer stuff. But, like, but then, like, you were saying, like, Bono is actually out there affecting change and doing really important things.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I was actually watching a Vice special last night on HBO about AIDS and HIV. Mm-hmm. And how involved Bono is, like, on that front.
Yeah.
And, like, actually affecting real political change. And yet every time he opens his mouth to say anything political, I'm like, would you shut the fuck up?
Shut up. Yeah,
because he's just enough. Because he's Bono.
Some people make the transition, right, to serious person.
Right.
But, like, if you're using your art to affect change, that's, like, one thing. You're becoming a character, right? Sort of. But when you take away that veil and you're like, I'm just Bono or I'm just Josh and I want to be a real serious man now, there's, like, a sort of a it's more difficult for people to, like, listen to you and I think take you seriously.
He also, like, in the thing I saw last night, he just kept referring to himself as we.
Yeah.
Like, we, you know, we were here.
I think he comes off as pretentious.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to, like, stomach anything that he says to you.
But I'm not, I'm not boycotting U2 music because I don't want Bono spending his money on AIDS research.
Right.
That would be ridiculous.
Yeah, that would be insane. You'd be Orson Scott Card.
The one I was thinking, yeah, exactly. The one I was thinking of, which is not my thing, my backlash anyway, is the author James Frey, who wrote A Million Little Pieces, which was, when it came out, purportedly his autobiography of his time spent, like, in rehab and getting clean and all this shit. And, like, back when she was still picking books, it was an Oprah book club pick, and Oprah had him on, and he was talking about his experiences in rehab and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
and then it came out, like, a few months later that he had either made up and or plagiarized most of the story.
Right. Yeah.
So there was this huge backlash where he had to go back on Oprah and be like, yeah, I lied. I made it up.
Well, see, again, something like that to me so clearly crosses the line. Like, you're no longer just a dick who says dicky things.
You're a liar.
You're a liar.
You're a liar and you're greedy.
And you're using it to, like, push your work on people to try and, like, you're actively doing something.
Right.
Just, like, that makes you a huge asshole.
It's easy to write something or, you know, like, book or music and put it out there and just be like, okay, it's out there, whatever, I wrote this. But when your, like, actions as a person, like a private quote-unquote person, start to become, like, real dickish, like, then, you know, people are gonna be like, well, I don't want to buy your stuff. So I think it's, you know, beneficial for these people not to do that. Like, why does it benefit, like, why would you have to be really angry?
Orson Scott Card does it because he's a Mormon, I want to say.
Okay.
I don't know.
He does it because his religion tells him to. He does it because he has a mandate from on high that dictates that it's his, like, duty to use his gains to try to get the world to be whatever his faith is. Maybe, it may not be Mormon.
He can do whatever he wants, but, like, you can also walk down the street and just, like, be an asshole to everybody. You can do that, but what is that going to get you?
Yeah.
Or, like, you could also just, like, you don't have to go out in public and be like, I think gay people are evil and the devil. Like, you know, you don't have to stand on the mountaintop and say it.
Well, they do because that's why they're
That's
really
part of the thing,
it.
Too.
That's
right?
why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, and again, like, you know, saying those things, like saying them to a reporter or something is one thing. But, like, actively campaigning and spending your money to try and, like, repress people in the world, like, that's just... You've crossed a clear line. Like, being an asshole, I can kind of forgive.
Thank you.
But you're welcome.
I mean, is that, like, the worst person, though? Like, I can't think... I'm trying to think of anybody else, like, that I...
Well, especially
aside from, like Sarah Palin, who's, like,
well, that's,
whatever,
again,
you know?
like, these political figures and stuff, like, it almost doesn't matter. Like, of course Ann Coulter is a
piece
of trash.
Right, of course that's their bit.
You know, like, that's their bit, and they're... their writing is already
pushing a political
agenda.
It's not like Sarah Palin
is
writing, started out writing like an amazing
novel,
you know, mystery story, and then came out to become who she is.
Right.
I Googled this to see like what the internet's opinion was, and I got a bunch of like list articles.
Listicles.
You mean the internet? You got the internet.
Yeah. About listicles. Like, I purposely did not say that word.
What word?
Listicles.
Bingo.
Which one? Zane?
Suck my listicles.
All right.
The top 10 listicles that have ever listed.
All right. Once again, I'm right.
I don't remember saying that.
You didn't need to.
Interesting.
Go on.
Anyway, a lot of the people that came up, like especially current writers, are basically just like litigious writers.
Okay.
Right. And again, for me, like that's not crossing the line. Like to be litigious, like J.K. Rowling popped up on a bunch of articles because she sued someone who was writing like an unofficial guide to something in the Harry Potter universe, and apparently a lot of people took great offense to that because she had to, it was like a trial thing, and
it's their thing,
you know, and they were like, she has all this money and she's whining and crying about how, you know, how much it hurt her that people were doing this, and like that's like go to hell, like that's of course
she's
gonna
the right
sue.
To,
or even
to
like
preserve the integrity of her,
you know, like I think Harlan Ellison is a great example. Like he's a world renowned dick,
yeah,
but mostly because he has to be horrible to be around, but he's litigious. He's extremely litigious. Mm-hmm. I think I read some article, and I don't know how current it was, but he's been involved in like 240 some. Like lawsuits that he's, you know,
how
like
do you have the time.
Like basically, as best as I can tell, like that's just what Harlan Ellison does. Yeah. Like, you know, he sees a seed of something that he did, and like, so I'm willing to bet that some of those at least are legitimate,
right?
You know,
right.
And some of them probably are not. But for me, like that doesn't affect my world.
That's
at
more
all.
Like get off my lawn, you kid.
Exactly. Right. Like he's curmudgeonly to an extreme.
God hates. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like for me, that's passable. It's fine.
Well,
it's still Harlan Ellison. It doesn't ruin his work for me. But like someone like Norman Mailer,
right,
who stabbed his wife at a party, and someone tried to help her, and he said, "Let the bitch die."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Unforgivable.
Yeah,
like
I can see that
crosses a severe line.
Yeah,
like being litigious, not so bad. I don't know. Like
misogynistically attempting murder.
It's a little hard to say.
No. I don't know. I don't know. Like what? I don't know. It's really like think of all the people that you've bought things of theirs that you have no idea what they're doing with their time or their money, and it's really hard to like. I don't know. It's just really hard to like take that personally because there's such a huge gap from you buying the thing to the money getting in their hands,
mm-hmm.
to them going and doing whatever crazy fucking thing that they do.
Think about most of the clothes you wear. Like,
right.
I'm wearing Nike shoes right now.
The phone you use.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Like there's
like
slaves making this shit.
Literally.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I don't know. It.
Well, that's again, like, if you really start to think about it, there's just so much. How can you take a stand against all of it? Like, it starts to seem overwhelming.
It's too much, right?
You have to pick and choose. You have to choose
your
battles. You know, it's like,
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm sure there's somebody out there that, like, is a real straight edge and they don't buy, what's his name's books? The drug, what's his name?
Huh?
The guy.
Hunter Thompson?
Hunter Thompson.
Really?
I'm sure that there's people who do that, like
because of the.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
People love being mad at stuff,
right?
And there's a difference,
especially
between
stuff that they don't really understand,
right? Yeah. There's a difference between like something that really like is like disturbing you on a human level, like I would consider, you know, oppressing an entire group of people is pretty effed up,
right?
There's a difference between that and like a guy being just kind of crazy.
You
know what I mean?
Exactly.
But
I feel like when it starts to, like, when you actually are trying to affect change in the world, that's a huge line to cross.
Right.
Yeah.
But just being a dick is, like, that's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Philip K. Dick, he was crazy as hell, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't an asshole. Like,
well, I mean, not that his writing was so good, but, like, look at L. Ron Hubbard.
Right. L. Ron Hubbard, yeah. Like,
I mean,
he was insane.
Absolutely. But, like.
And he did bad things
way,
to people.
But
way over the line.
But how do you, but that's the thing, though. Like, how do you say, okay, well, I'm not defending L. Ron Hubbard, but how do you...
Now let me defend L. Ron Hubbard.
How do you, like, what is his actions based on his insanity, or did he know he was doing that? Was he conscious of that, and does that make that okay, or worse? Like, is it okay, like, if a doctor came in and said, L. Ron Hubbard, you're a schizophrenic, like, can you then be like, oh, well, okay... Or is that, or do you still like base it on their actions? I think you still base it on their actions.
I mean, right. I don't mean to sound like a I have a lot of sympathy and patience for mental illness.
Right.
But at a certain point, you're an adult, you made your choices, you you see the repercussions of your choices. I mean, like,
well, again, when those repercussions are that far reaching, when you are like torturing people and like emotionally torturing people.
And like breaking children away from parents and
doing it to the masses. Yeah. Like this is, it's, that's crazy, crazy level. That's like so far maniacal. Over the line.
Like,
Yeah, but I don't know, like you said earlier, like I think history kind of, it's like a salve. Like you can like read about like Charles Dickens and be like, oh, Charles.
Well, again, like you start to go back in time and you know we're still unearthing stuff and it's like, oh, well, turns out this guy beat his wife. Oh, well, turns out this guy cheated on every wife he ever had, or you know, and it's like
Teddy Roosevelt believed in eugenics.
You
start to,
but it was the style at the time. I mean, seriously, right? Like, no, I know that was the prevailing scientific wisdom of the day.
Yeah, well, and especially nowadays, like. If they're any kind of public figure, everything they do gets parsed like so thoroughly for any little thing that they do, anything that they say, you know, if they bother to take a stance against anything, people are, you know, for it, against it. And,
they all come out of the woodwork.
We are starting to do that to historical figures as well. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's like, you know, these great figures, and it's like, but did you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, does it negate the good things that they did? I don't know.
Well, that was always one of my favorite things about, like, I had a really good history teacher that would say, like, look, you don't know, like, what this person was doing that day. That's the sort of the magic and the mystery of history. It's not like math where, you know, you can find what exactly is happening. Like, what was going through, like, Thomas Jefferson's head when he was having sex with his slaves,
right?
Like, you have no idea, maybe.
Or Columbus cutting the ears off of the natives.
Yeah,
and like,
them,
I mean, obviously,
neck.
Obviously, I'm, again, I'm not defending that behavior, and I'm not saying that, like, history washes it away, or that we need to, you know, revere the man, but, like, it is, you know,
it's human behavior.
It's very easy in 2015 to go, in 1492, he was an evil person and no one called him out for being evil.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is no one called him out for being evil because at that time it was not believed to be evil.
Right.
Well, like, and I mean, Christopher Columbus is not a great example of this, but I think when you start to break down anyone's life, people make horrible mistakes and they do horrible things to other people. And, you know, no one single figure, especially artists who tend to be a little unstable, tend to be a little rash, or, you know, like they don't always function as well.
Emotional.
And so like,
no,
that kind of stuff. No, I don't believe
that's not,
but like that kind of stuff, you know, it can attract certain things into these people's lives. And again, when you start to parse it like way down, no one is going to hold up to
that's
standard,
what I mean. Like,
you know,
people are going to do
some
human
things.
There's
are
no
more
one standard.
Unforgivable than others.
Right.
But,
you
know,
it's a scale, right?
Right.
You got Hitler and Orson Scott Card on one end. And on the other end,
you got Bono.
Me.
Bono and Josh. That's it. That's the scale of awesome to bad.
All right, cool. Let's go ahead and take a little break at that while Josh listens to his own head inflating.
I'm so good.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cracking the Spine, episode 46.
This is serious, Josh.
This is NPR Josh.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Sean. We're at the Doylestown Bookshop. It's a location.
You know what that means. It's the last segment of the show.
It's boy.
The last segment klaxons, like we always do.
Like we always do. That old crane is my tradition.
That old chestnut.
46 episodes deep now. I remember when Lauren used to blast those klaxons. Hi, Lauren. I hope you're listening. All right. So, once again, we toss it to you guys.
Yeah.
Who do you hate? Who makes you sick to your stomach?
Who did you love until you found out, like, what they were doing with their personal lives or their personal politics?
Yeah, that.
Or they said something and it just totally turned you off and you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us.
We tell us.
And just as a sort of, like, to let you guys know what's coming up, we're going to be doing a special Christmas Eve episode of Cracking the Spine.
Yep.
That we hope you tune in for. And then we will be off for a week. We're going to take a week off so that we can spend time with our families and not with each other.
I don't have one.
We're going to be spending a lot of it with us.
Yeah, I'm coming over to you guys' houses.
Okay.
Are there going to be cookies?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. I was supposed to bring cookies tonight.
That's
the only way we can get Josh to come over to our houses.
And sometimes even that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, first of all, there weren't cookies at the picnic in the summertime. I wrote it down. No cookies. I wrote it in my book. He's
keeping a tally.
Yeah.
Zane keeps research. Josh keeps cookie notes.
True.
And keep tossing us out those suggestions. We've actually had some really awesome conversations of late that we didn't stimulate at all.
We've been getting a lot of really good like topics to do and everything. So keep them coming because they're awesome. And obviously we use them.
Right?
So. We love you.
All right, cool. So that's enough, right?
Yes.
Anybody else have anything else they need to say? Do you want me to read more, pump up the volume?
No, I'm good. I didn't say
you thought you were reacting like I was going to say Mad Magazine.
I mean, you were really putting me there. Like, I was like, oh, man, this is like I'm watching that movie from 1992.
What would Mad Magazine have called Pump Up the Volume?
Dump up the volume.
There it is. There it is.
And it would be like a toilet.
There it is. And the character was named, his name was...
Christian Slater.
Christian Slater's character.
Christian...
Estevez.
Christian Slimer.
Christian Masturbator.
No. Oh. Nah,
that's too much. That's
why is that too much?
Hi, Mad Magazine, if you're listening, which I know you are because we're the only show that talks about you. I think we're the only three people on Earth that talk about you. This show brought to you by Mad Magazine.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting some of that Fat Mad Magazine money.
What? They don't make any money.
$4.99 cheap.
We don't know. We don't know.
They canceled their show.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening.
We'll talk more next week.
Best show ever.